on the outside of the boat. Look at that. The storm is not just on the outside of the boat. Right? Okay. And it's, you know, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, the storm should be on the outside, but the storm has gotten on the inside, and that's the problem. That's the big problem. The storm is now on the inside of the boat. Okay? How many of you like storms getting inside of you? No way. Good. You are smarter than a fifth grader. Okay? So the real crazy thing or interesting thing is we've got Jesus asleep on a pillow. Jesus is asleep on the pillow. So let's read that. Let's start in verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Right? Does your Bible say that? Into the boat. Okay? The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Filling with what? A lot of water. Right? Okay? But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Okay. You want to think, how on earth are you asleep on a pillow? How could you possibly be sleeping in the storm in the boat that's getting filled with water? Anybody would have asked that question? Like, how can you be doing that, okay? By the way, this is not, anybody ever go on a cruise? Cruise boat? Big cruise boat. One time, I've been on one. I think I'm done. I'm good. Okay, it's off my list. But they had a storm that night. Guess what I did? Slept like a baby. Okay? There's a lot of water going on. And there's some people that got sick that night. I was like, I slept, okay? This is not a cruise boat. All right? And here we have Jesus asleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm. Now, real interesting, a lot of the men in the boat were skilled fishermen. Would you agree? Would you agree they had knowledge of boats and waters? Would you agree? Okay. Matter of fact, they were skilled not just on a nice day. They were probably skilled on really turbulent waters. Would you agree? Okay. Yeah, they're fishermen. That's their livelihood. Okay. And but listen, this had gotten out of control. This was like way past their skills. This is past their knowledge, and it was out of control. Amen? Right? Okay. So you know what? They came to the end of themselves, and they couldn't save themselves, right? They couldn't save themselves. So here we have Jesus sleeping on the in the back of the boat. Where's the stern, front or back, by the way? You don't know either. Back? Okay, sleeping in the back of the boat on a pillow, all right? And now this picture here, they kind of, Jesus is kind of glowing, right? Like the halo thing. So we know that's Jesus, right? Okay? And we can tell what it is. But listen, you would think they would be wondering, how on earth are you sleeping, Jesus? Right? How can you be sleeping? And better yet, why are you sleeping? Why are you sleeping? Are you kidding me? Anybody ever think like that? It's just me on two cups of coffee. Gosh, I don't know about you guys. Okay. Now, it's really interesting. The guys in the boat, the way they saw it, their future was death. Death by storm, not by chocolate. Death by storm, right? That's what they're thinking. And they didn't see a good end for this boat ride at that point, did they? Nope, okay. They didn't. And so they're crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, why don't you do something? Jesus, we have a problem. We're going to perish," a.k.a. We're going to die. And listen, I don't think they're calm. I don't think they're calm. They're probably like Pastor D. Okay. Alrighty, let's go finish reading that. So he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up. They asked him those questions like I did, right? They woke him up and they said, "Teacher, Don't you care we're perishing? AKA die, die, die. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Okay. Jesus asked them two questions. Write them down if you're taking notes. Write them down if you're taking notes. Why are you so fearful? Right? And how come you don't have, that's my translation, faith? He asked them two questions. They're kind of interesting questions, don't you think? Now, you would think in the middle of this, that's not a good time to be asking two questions, right? You would think that's not a good time for those questions. You would think, buddy, fix the problem. Let's finish this boat ride. Don't you think? That would have been me. All righty. Okay. But in the middle of this really serious problem, death by storm, he asked them two questions, right? He asked them two questions. Why are you so fearful? And how come you don't got faith? Alrighty, now, the first question, why are you so afraid? Okay, these guys are probably thinking, duh, why are you not afraid? We're in the boat together. We're in the storm together, right? How come you're not afraid? I would have been like, are you kidding me, right? Okay, now the second question is, how come you don't have faith? That's just another good question that he tosses out there. And, of course, we know before he asks the question, what does he do? He stands up and he rebukes the wind. He says, shut down, wind. And they said the wind stopped, the waves, and everything became calm immediately, right? Did you read that with me? Immediately. Now, it's really interesting. The Bible says right after Jesus did that, the guys who were in the boat, who were afraid of the storm and the water that was filling the boat, all of a sudden, they're now afraid of, what kind of man is that in the boat with us? Did you read that? All right. So you could say their fear shifted from the storm that was in the boat to the man. What kind of man is that in the boat that even the winds obey? So they kind of got a shift going on, all righty? All righty. So we have these two questions, right? Two questions, and they're quite interesting. And I have to tell you, Jesus is asking these questions, and he's not there just to tease you, to pull your string. He's not there to do that, and he's not trying to be sarcastic. By the way, I have friends, not looking at anybody here, that you have this sarcastic humor. I never get it. I never get it. And so Jack used to, I'd kick him. That was our sign. I didn't get it. Tell me later. So all of you that have that delightful sense of humor, just go to the next person. Make it really simple for me. Okay, I'm not lost. Here we go. So Jesus wasn't teasing. He wasn't sarcastic. And he certainly wasn't using this horrible situation so he could show off. Oh, I'm the God Almighty. He wasn't doing that at all. His questions were really real. Say real. They were real, okay? And they were real. And he asked, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And it's really interesting. When he said, why are you afraid? He's actually saying, you have an option. You know, on the multiple choice test, A, B, C, D, none of the above. Jesus, when he said, why are you afraid? He's giving them an option. You can be afraid, or you don't have to be afraid. It's kind of in that question, don't you think? Think about that. He's kind of giving them the option here. Okay, so we ask the questions. Guys, you don't have to be afraid. Why are you afraid? That's what he's really asking. So the second question is, why didn't you have faith? That's not so much to do with the conditions of the water, that question. All right, guys? And I would have been going, when he said, why don't you have faith? I would have gone, well, duh, where is faith? Anybody ever talk to your friends like that? Duh. I would have gone, duh, Lord Jesus, well, where is it? How can I get this faith? Where does faith come from? Like, don't ask me, where is my faith? Ask me, like, where do I get this? Where does it come from? Where does faith come from? Write that down. We're going to talk about where faith comes from. Where faith comes from. Everybody knows faith comes by hearing. Okay, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by hearing the promise of God, or hearing the command of God, right? That's how you get faith. So, now the thing is, in the beginning of the story, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Do you remember that? Let us go to the other side. And when he said that, let us go to the other side, guess what? He fully intended to go to the other side. He fully intended, okay? He's not thinking, oh, we're just going to sink in the middle of this thing. No, he said, let us go to the other side. He was intending to go to the other side, all right? Even if there was a storm, even if the water was just getting in the boat, even if they had this problem, like it looked like they're sinking, he said to them, what? Let us. This is class participation. You get a hamburger afterwards. Let us go to the other side, okay? Now, when he said, let us, everybody say us. He didn't mean just let me. He said us. He was intending that they were all going to go. Where? A-L-L. All. All right. So Jesus said, let us go. Now listen, guys. That is where faith gets rooted. That is a faith-rooted statement. Sure is quiet in these damn parts here, I'll tell you what. All righty. All right. That's where faith is initiated, in that one statement. Let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. We're not going to sink. We're not going to drown. We're going to the other side. That's where faith starts there, okay? Now, when I read that, I was reading that over and over and over because I was going to teach this. When I read that, I thought, I'm going to make that personal. You should read these stories and find them personal in your life. So I'm reading that. I'm making that personal. So you know what I started thinking? You know what? What are we? What's today's date? I should know. It's picnic day. The picnic day. Okay. Well, we got about 6 more months, and the year is going to wrap up. But you know what? I'm going to get to 2017 December. I am going to the other side. You know why? Because I am looking to God, who loves me and has promised me that I'm his child, that has blessings, okay? I am going to make it to the other side. I'm going to finish 2017. Glorious. Now, as a nation, as the world, as this church family, your family, you personally, you should be saying, I'm going to make it to the end of this year. That's a faith statement. Actually, it has to do with a promise, okay? Now, can I tell you something? God doesn't mean for you to sink before December 2017. God doesn't mean for you to sink and you're not going to make it. God plans for you to make it to December 2017. He's a good God, all right? So when you read these stories, put them in your life. Put them in your circumstances, okay? So the title of my message, for all of you that are taking notes, right on the top right, Living Fearlessly, or Living Fearless, or Fearless, if you don't feel like the word before that, all right? Write down fearless, all righty? Fearless. Now, the other thing, why they were to have faith in the situation, well, one, he gave his word. Let us, okay? Didn't he give his word? Let us go to the other side. He gave a word, okay? So the other thing for having faith is not just the word or the promise of God, but it was, write this down, the presence of God. So you have the promise of God, and then you have the presence of God. Who's in the boat with them? Wake up. Jesus is in the boat. God and Son Jesus. Okay. Jesus in the boat. That's the presence of God. Guys, the presence of God was in the boat, right? Put the coffee back on. My gosh. So listen, you got the disciples, you've got all these other little boats, but in that particular boat is the presence of God. I am pretty sure. Matter of fact, I'm positive. Guess what? They're not going to sink. Why? The presence of God is in the boat. You should be laughing. Oh my gosh, we're not going to sink. The presence of God. But listen, guys, when you are so conscious of your circumstances, when you get swallowed up in your circumstances and they're getting into your home, the storm is getting into your home, getting into your life, just pouring into you. When you obsess around all of that, not good, right? Not good, okay? It'll drown out the presence of God. And you'll be so focused on the evil presence, the storm, that you forget the presence of God, right? So, guess what? There's another presence, right? There's another presence, and he's greater than any other presence. He's greater than any other human. He's greater than any other. Say any other. Yeah, okay? And that is the presence of God. The presence of God is greater. And he said, come on, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you till the end of the world. So why are we going, Okay, the presence of God, the presence of God. So we have his promise, right? We have his promise, which he said, let us go to the other side. He gave that word, and we have his presence, okay? So those two things make it enough. Everybody say enough. For them to have faith. It makes it enough for them to have faith that they shouldn't be going and crying. Alrighty. All right. So no matter how wet they got, no matter how much wind messed up their hair, no matter how much water was going in the boat, they had the promise of God and the presence of God. So they should have faith. And they're going, well, it's just a little bumpy ride today. We're going to the other side, alrighty? And guys, listen, as sons and daughters of God, if you've received Jesus Christ, he's made you a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. Guess who lives inside of you? God Almighty. And then he said, I'm going to give you authority. That doesn't matter what circumstances are going on, you are not going to sink. Use your authority. You're not going to sink. You're going to the other side. Hallelujah. Yeah, preach me happy in Mark 2. All righty. Let's look at another story. Just go to the next chapter, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. All right. Mark chapter 5, this is really an eventful chapter for Jesus. Woohoo! I'm telling you what. You know, there was this man, right? And he had come up to Jesus. His name is Jairus. We're at verse 35, but no cheating, all right? So there's this man, his name is Jairus, and he comes up to Jesus, and he's begging Jesus, Jesus, come to my house and heal my little daughter. Everybody remember that? All right? And the reason why is his little daughter is so sick, she's going to die. All right, so Jesus, he comes up and he begs Jesus, Jesus, come to my house. You got to come to my house. And Jesus is like, okay, let's go. And right in the middle of them walking to Jairus' house, somebody cuts in line. Anybody ever cut you off and cut you in line? And you all said, yay, okay? Not, wah! All right, somebody cut in line. It's this little lady who had an issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging, and she cuts in line, and she receives her healing. Everybody know that part of the story? Okay? So, let's read 35. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler's house of the synagogue's house, who said, so these people come up to Jesus and they're going to say something, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? As soon as Jesus heard that, let me flip the page. Whoop, went too far. As soon as Jesus heard that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, again, Jesus isn't being sassy. He's not being cruel. He's not coming up, oh, sweetie, don't worry. He gives a command. What is the command? Say it like you mean it. Don't be afraid, okay? He says, don't be afraid, all righty? Now, Jesus heard those guys come up to Jairus. He heard them. He's not walking around, la, 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 can't hear it. No, he heard what they said to him, and he gives that guy a direct command, and he says, don't be afraid, right? Is that how you read that? There's an exclamation part on there, all right? Now, I'm not going to go through all the different parts in the Bible. There's lots where God gives a command to people, and you'll go through, read through your Bible, where he gives them a command, don't be afraid. Anybody know a couple of those other ones? Yep, he does, okay. But I will tell you, when God gives a command and Jesus gives a command, it's beyond your little comfort. It's beyond comfort, okay? Okay, and he's not coming up and patting your little hand, oh, sweetie. Oh, don't be afraid. No, it's not that. It's a command. Don't be afraid, right? Okay, it's a command. Now, what is it about fear that God doesn't want you to get sunk in it? What is it about fear that God doesn't want you to do that? Anybody have some ideas? Keep them to yourself. Okay. Well, number one, we can see in our first story, you know, Jesus in the boat on the pillow. If you get into fear, they started ignoring the presence of God, right? The word of God, they started not doing any of that, right? So write this down. Fear activates the thing that you're afraid of. You don't want fear. Fear activates the thing that you are afraid of. So in the first story, we got Jesus in the boat. Okay? And then these guys are flipping out and they're in fear, and Jesus has to yank them out of that fear. Because their fear is just, whoa, it's not going good, right? It's not going good. Okay. So fear activates the things you're afraid of. And God says, don't do it. Don't fear. Don't do it. Don't fear. It's really, 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 he means what he says. And he says it with commands, all right? So if you were to say, you just picture Jesus. He's talking to Jairus. He's just heard this terrible thing. Don't fear. And then he just walks away. That would be really cruel, don't you think? That would be really not nice, right? Well, Jesus is not nice. He's very nice, okay? But you got to think about it. This is an extreme situation, right? This is really extreme. Jairus just heard that his little daughter had died, okay? This is serious. This is heavy duty. And you know what? Jesus speaks to him really strong. Don't be afraid. And the second part, only believe. Gives him a command, and then he gives him faith. Gives him a command, and then he gives him the thing for faith, okay? Now, if you're looking at something of what to believe, okay, if you're looking at something to believe, like Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. If you're going to listen to Jesus, don't be afraid, only believe. Well, you know what that tells me? I have a choice, right? I have a choice going on here. To fear, not to fear. So everybody down, you have a choice. You guys always have a choice. I have a choice, okay? And if we're not going to fear, I want to go, well, what are we going to do? Anybody want to go, well, if I'm not going to fear, what am I supposed to do? Okay, what can I do? Where can I get some help if I'm not going to fear? All righty. Look over to 2 Chronicles. We're going to go to another story. I'm building a case. Ready? 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let me give you a little background here. Okay, this is about King Jehoshaphat. Aren't you glad your name is not Jehoshaphat? First off, when you go to school and you have to put your first name and last name in those little boxes, you don't have enough boxes. So all you parents that cook up these wonderful names, you need to know how many boxes, because you really mess up. All right. So we got Jehoshaphat, and now listen, he's actually one of the good kings of Judah. And they had had a whole bunch of bad ones, and Judah's a good king. All righty? We're going to find out one of the reasons why. And at this point of the story, three armies, enemy armies, converge on Judah. Okay? Three armies converge on Judah. Not just one, not just two, but are you kidding me? Three! Three armies converge on Judah. And how many of you have ever noticed, I hate the saying, but people say, well, bad things come in three, Pastor D, all right? But did you ever feel like it, you know, and something bad happens, and you don't even get a time to have a vacation, and then the next wave hits you, and the next wave hits you. Anybody ever experienced that? Shoo, baby, okay. So we have three armies, and they say there are multitude of armies that converge on Judah. All these people, okay? All right, were y'all at 2 Chronicles 20? How about verse 3? So I just told you verse 1 and 2, okay? Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. What did he do? Okay, you know, did you ever, I was sitting there thinking, well, why did he fear? Guys, he's human. He's human, right? And a fear is a human response by what you see, right? Sometimes what you hear, right? Sometimes what you feel. It's just a human response, okay? And it's when something causes anxiety and fear in your life, you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Oh my Lord. Okay, so fear. And yet, God, so it says right there, Jehoshaphat feared. But you know what? The story didn't end there. Okay, let's read the rest of the part. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. I hate fasting. All through Judah. Jehoshaphat feared, but he set what? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. Alrighty. Jump down to verse 15. And so they got all this thing going on, and then there's this prophet who speaks from what God gives him to them. And he said, hearken ye all of Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Alrighty. Right now, God's about to say something. Right there, God's about to say something, all right? And this is what he says. Be not afraid. Everybody got that? Be not afraid. God says that all the time. Don't freak out. Don't be afraid, okay? So he's telling him not to be afraid, all righty, and I just lost my place. Do not be afraid or dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle. Now, he's going to give him the promise. He's going to give him a promise. Okay, you know, you get that promise. That's where faith starts cruising here. So he's going to give him the promise. And he says, for the battle is not yours, but God. Praise the Lord. Guys, this is a bottle of water. What's inside of it? All right, the Word of God contains, like this contains water, the Word of God contains something. The Word of God contains faith. All right, the Word of God, oh, you ought to write that down. The Word of God contains faith, and you don't need a whole case of it. You just need, sometimes, just one word. One word from God, one word out of the Word, or one word where the Word is the Word, okay? You just need one word, okay? And it'll give you faith. Man, it's good preaching, Pastor D. All right, so let's go back. Don't be afraid or dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, all righty? And then that's the promise from the Lord. And verse 17, ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, now the next part, it's like the replay again. He says what? Fear not, don't be dismayed, all righty? So he's telling them again, don't fear, I've given you the promise, don't fear. And I think he says it really loud, don't fear, all righty? You've got the word. Don't fear or be dismayed. Let's read the rest. For tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What's that sound like? What's the other one? The presence. The Lord's going to be with you in the boat. Okay? So you got the promise and the presence. You see that? Sure, Pastor D. All righty. And if you've got the promise and the presence, guess what? Those are the reasons you don't have to be afraid. Those are the reasons, guys, you don't have to be afraid. And if you look to the Lord, it doesn't matter anything that's confronting you, anything that's assaulting you, anything that's challenging you, anything that's pouring in your boat. If you look to the Lord, don't be afraid. You've got the word and the presence, okay? That's like your assurance. What's that song, the little song? Blessed assurance. Jesus. That's your assurance. Praise God, okay? So everybody say, his promise and his presence. All right. Those two things hold true for any situation. Those are your grounding. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. But guys, again, you have a choice. You have a choice to fear or not to fear. All right. Turn over to Isaiah. Let's go someplace else before the picnic. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40. Praise the Lord. Is that chapter 40 or 41? I might have written it down. Let me go look. Verse 10. 40. Okay. 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. All right. This is really why my scripture I just was chewing on. Here we go. What's the first thing it says? Do not be afraid. Does yours say that? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Oh, 41. Sorry about that. You guys are just so on that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. They keep my head in the game here. All right. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's a command, right? It's a command. Do not be afraid. Okay. Why? I'm with you. I'm your God. Sounds like the presence. Okay? Let nothing terrify you. I like that. Let nothing terrify you. Don't let it terrify you. Right? All right. Now, Jesus said the same thing when he walked on the earth. He said, don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus would say that. There's a lot of places where it says that. Okay? So, again, sounds like you have a choice. You have a choice. You always have a choice. Now, I love making people do things. I just can't help it. I just love it. But I can't make you. You guys have a choice. You guys have a choice. Okay. Now, we've been talking about storms, Jesus in the storm and the boat. And then we were talking about Jairus and his little girl had died. Okay. Those are actually really dramatic, right? Don't you think those are like the biggies? Those are real dramatic situations. Okay. Guys, fear doesn't only come in big, dramatic, terrible situations. Fear does not only come in the biggies, all righty? Fear can come in the most normal day, yeah? And it can be wrapped up in all different kinds of clothes, uh-huh? Okay, so we're going to look at that because for you to get to the end of 2017, for you to be able to go through those challenges and not have them walk all over you, for that to happen, you're going to have to pull off some of that clothes that are disguises, okay? And we're going to have to look at types of fears. Okay, so we're going to look at them. Number one, there are some fears, like Jairus's daughter died, that are super shocking to your feelings and to your senses. Like, that's big, right? And then there are others that have been around you so long, you're just used to it. We're going to talk about that. There are some that there's just a part of you. It's just the way you do life. And you don't even know that you've got fear. You're dressed in fear. All right. So we're going to talk about that. But listen, all fear, the big, bad, and dirty and ugly, or the stuff that's just been sneaky and gotten into you, all fear is not of God. You ought to write that down. Fear is not of God, okay? And we don't have to tolerate it. Matter of fact, God wants us to eradicate fear. He doesn't want that in your life, all right? Are we still over in Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah, here we go. So it says, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. I am with you. I'm your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. Oh my gosh, that's a promise. Did you see it? That's a promise. And it's also in there also, he's the presence. So you got the promise and the presence going on there, all righty? Now listen, that promise from God isn't just God sitting up in heaven, in there it's so nice, and streets of gold, and I don't have to cook or change flat tires. It's just so lovely. Oh, no, that's our God who is called Emmanuel. God with us. Yes, he's up there, but God is with us, right? And it said, Jesus said, when he left the earth, by the way, he left the earth, and he's seated at the Father's right hand, he said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and you'll have him within you, in you. So listen, God is with us, and God is in us. Everybody say that. God is with us, and God is in us. Praise God. So if you've got the presence of God with us and in us, it says that he will help you, he will make you strong, and he will protect you, and he'll save you. Because God is with us, and God is in us. Praise God. All right. And guess what that means? You're going to triumph. I like that word, triumph. I was like, that's a cool word, triumph. God says you're going to be more than conquerors because you've got God with us and God in us. You're going to be victorious. So you should be going, whoa, bring it on. I'm good. All righty. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John, would y'all? 1 John 4:18. Praise God. Can you taste the burgers? Whew. Not yet. Okay. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Okay. Praise the Lord. There is no fear in love. If you have your Bible or you have one of those gizmos and gadgets, you underline that word love. We're going to talk about that. So it says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. All right, because fear has torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. All righty. So it says, fear has torment. All righty. Praise the Lord. Look at this. This is a box cake mix. I always keep one or two of these just in case. Okay, now if you read the back, if you add 3 eggs, 1 cup of water, and 1/3 cup of oil, guess what I'm going to make? A cake. If I put those ingredients, I'm going to have a cake. If I put those ingredients in there, and also follow the directions, okay, I'm going to have a cake. Guys, torment is an ingredient in fear. And I think you could even say it back either way. Okay, just picture this box, like my cake box, and you know what's in there? Fear. And you can do it the other way. Picture it the other way. It's an ingredient. Torment is an ingredient of fear. Okay, I've told this story a bunch of times. Jack and I, it's probably the first time he's going to throw me in that little airplane. Okay, Cessna 180. Single engine. Old. Old. It's 1970 something or other. But the nice thing about little airplanes like that, every 3,000 miles, you tear that whole engine apart. It's probably better in condition than your car. Yep. So we're in that thing. And we hit an air pocket on a warm day. And that thing, blah! And right then, OMG! Torment! Wah! And I'm very vocal about it. And I realized that scripture, fear has torment. I was in fear and it was tormenting. It was like hairs on my armor. Just all sorts of ugly things are going on. Okay? Anybody identify with fear having torment? Torment is fear. Okay. Pray. Just thought I'd tell you that one. So yeah, I will tell you, I worked at it. I was like, you little snake. I'm not going to have that. Besides, I want to fly to the beach in 45 minutes as opposed to 4 hours and sit in traffic. So I am not going to let that torment, that fear, hold me. Now, I wouldn't tell you. It took a little bit to get there. Okay, but anyway, back in here. Have you ever noticed people respond to fear differently? People respond to fear differently. Okay. Some people, when things happen and they get afraid, they pull in, they shut down, they recluse. That's a good one. They kind of roll up, right? How many of you ever, you didn't ever do this? How many ever had a turtle and you knew somebody did that? What do you do with a little turtle and you start poking it? It pulls in, right? It gets afraid. What does it do? It pulls in. The head goes in, the feet, I guess they're all feet. I was going to say feet and hands. The tail goes in. You poke it. It gets afraid. You poke it. It comes in. Whoever, I don't know, there's a real name for these insects. They're little roly-polies. Is that what they call them? That's what we call them here in York County. Those little roly-poly bugs. Right. As soon as you get to it, what does it do? It rolls up. It gets afraid. Next week, Google what is the real name of that. But everybody knows they roll into a ball, okay? There are people like that. There are people like that. If you poke them with your words or their best look or an attitude, they'll roll up. They retreat. They get insecure, right? Okay, so that's not good. If some people have had that, you've done that at work. Your boss has always given you that look, and you're just now all insecure. You rolled up, okay? Sometimes you'll have it in relationships, and that ought not to be. That's the Pastor D finger here. All righty. So if words are spoken, right, if words are spoken or different things happen, some people roll up, draw in, become insecure, recluse, right? You got it? Okay. Now, that's one way of responding to fear, okay? Now, the problem with that, if you are rolled up, insecure, like this, like that, you cannot enjoy the abundant life or the plans that God has for you. Because you're always like this, you know, and you're goofy, right? You can't enjoy them. And so if you're the little turtle and you withdraw inside, it's not going to be good. And can I tell you, you can't wait for the whole world to be, oh, you're so nice, yay. You can't wait for the world to always be kind to you and say nice things to you. You'll be waiting until Jesus comes back, all right? But write this down. People aren't your enemy. Yeah, but they just said this. They treat me like this. They give me this look. Oh, no. People aren't your enemy in the end. Ready? People aren't your enemy. Fear is your enemy. People aren't your enemy. Fear is your enemy. And he'll use people, though. Oh, yeah, he uses them, all right? Guys, Jesus came to the earth, and he said he completed his task from the Lord. All that God ordained him to do, he completed it victoriously. Now, so interesting, but he completed it. He did all that God told him to do, and he came out victorious. But it wasn't because everybody was on his side. Go, Jesus, go. We love you. It wasn't because the everybody was like, yay, attaboy, Jesus, we're with you. There were a bunch that were, but there was a whole bunch that weren't, right? says he was despised and rejected, right? But he completed. He fulfilled his destiny. And he didn't fulfill all of that because he was afraid of anybody. He walked in power and authority and in love so that he could fulfill his destiny. Preach it, Pastor D. Good stuff. Okay. Listen, you guys are, I was like, someone says, Pastor D, you always say, you guys, you're pointing down to us. I said, no, I'm pointing me here. We will never fulfill all the great plans God has for our life. You will never, 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 if you're pulled in a ball, if you're insecure, if you're like shaking in your boots, okay? You're going to have to come out. Everybody say, come out. Yep. Now, if you think, well, if that person wasn't in at the work with me, I'd be okay. It wouldn't be like that. Or if you say, you know, if that person wasn't in my family and they're always meh, 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 I'd be okay. I wouldn't get into fear. Okay. Or if you said, if that person wasn't that way, how about you say this instead? How about this? I am going to triumph. I am not going to be afraid. Because I've got the word and I got the presence in me. So you have a choice. We have a choice, all right? I'm going to tell a story. I remember way back in 1891. Okay, actually, it was back when I was in college and I was doing, it was the year before I did my student teaching. And, I wanted Dr. Bryant. And instead I got Dr., because I don't know if anybody hears stories about her. Anyway, I was to be under her, and I really didn't like her. Actually, she gave me the willies. Okay, and really what happened is she was supposed to guide me and being a student teacher, so it's usually your junior year, you're clocking all these hours, and you have to report back and go to schools and shadows and stuff, and I'd have to report back to her, and she was always correcting my butt. Now, I probably gave her lots of reasons because I wasn't doing everything right. But I got to the place was I feared her. I got to the place where I feared her, okay? I got into dread every time I had to have an appointment with her. Do you want to know her nickname? No, I can't tell you that. Okay. Anyway. I remember one time I was so upset. I had worked myself up into a tizzy. I started crying, and I'm thinking, what is she going to say next to me? What is she going to do next to me? Is she going to make me write these reports all over again? Is she going to do this? Am I going to pay? It wasn't doing really good. So I did one of those complaining prayers to God. I sought the Lord in prayer. Yeah, I complained, okay? And you know what he said? You know what God said to me? He says, you're afraid of her because you don't love her. It's like, duh! You're afraid of her because you don't love her. It's like, of course I don't love her. She's a pain in the, you know what? She just does all this to me, okay? Guys, that really wasn't what I wanted to hear. Okay? I wanted him to say, I will remove her from your presence. I will bring lightning bolts. She will meet her maker tomorrow, and then you can have Dr. Bryant as your advisor. And you know what? He didn't say that, okay? And he said it again. You don't love her, okay, with my kind of love. And then he gave me that scripture, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, that love that dwells in me, perfect love casts out fear. I was like, for real? He just said it. Perfect love casts out fear. And he said, if you love them, then you're not going to be afraid of them. Whoa. Don't you just love how God just says, buck it up, baby. Just like, okay, if you love them, you're not going to be afraid of them. Well, you know, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. He says, love your enemies, right? And pray for them. Anybody ever read that? chapter 5, it's like the Beatitudes is down over yonder, that side here, okay? Love your enemies. So if you do that, if you love your enemies and you start praying for your enemies, let me tell you, it took a little bit of doing to start praying for her, okay? But I also knew the next year, she was the lady that was going to decide if I passed or I didn't. So I was a little motivated. Yeah, I really wasn't just the greatest student in college here. Anyway, another story. So how about you stop cursing your enemies? And let me tell you, I had lots of words to say about her. Okay? And you start praying for them, right? You start praying for them. So how about we start praying for these terrorists and these groups, right? Pray for your enemies, okay? Wouldn't that be a novel idea for Christians to do? Let's pray for our enemy. Write that down. Come on, write that down. Gee whiz. Okay, so everybody think of an enemy right now. Don't look at me. Think of a big one if you can't. You just can't, you know, you're just so sweet all the time. Think of a big one. Think of that person who makes you pull back, recluse, roll up, all right? Think of someone who's just really terrible to you. Could be your boss. I don't know. Don't tell me, all right? All right, now, one of the best ways for them to quit being your enemy is you start praying for them. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to pray for you. I don't care if you never like me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just going to pray that your eyes are open, that you walk in love. Ha, ha, ha. I'm praying for you. Ha, ha, ha. You're not going to cause me to fear. Ha, ha, ha. So and so, I'm praying for you. Okay. I've done that a few times in my life, okay? Because so Jesus said, pray for your enemies, right? And do you know what that does? When you start praying for your enemies, back in that scripture it says, the love of God that has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So what do you have inside of you? The love of God, not your love, the love of God. The love of God, the day you receive the Spirit of Christ inside of your life, the Spirit of God, all that God is and God is love, came inside of you. He put his love inside of you. You need it. He put his love inside of you and it says, love casts out fear. That's what my Bible says right here, okay? There is no fear, but perfect love casts out fear. Praise God. So, we sing that song, I'm no longer a slave of fear, I am a child of God. I love that. I love all the verses in there. I'm no longer a slave of fear, I am a child of God. So let me ask you this question. How does a child of God act? How does a child of act? Well, first off, go look at Jesus, right? Let's go look at him, all right? Let's go look at Jesus, all righty? By the way, the way Jesus, he was bold. Don't you think Jesus was bold? Man, he even showed his boldness sometimes. He's thrown over tables in the synagogue and just, oh man, he was smarter than a tack. He would say words just to get them just into the right place here, okay? So he was bold, and courageous, and not because everybody was going, yay, Jesus, affirm you, you're so good, hooray, hooray, hooray. Listen, he was bold and courageous because he was perfect love. He was perfect love, right? Wasn't he? He's God Almighty. He was perfect love. So guess what? He didn't have any fear. So he was bold and he was courageous. And especially since people were just super not nice to him. Praise the Lord. So guess what? If you're a child of God, if you're a son and daughter of God, hallelujah, we're not to be having any fear. Just like Jesus, we're not to have any fear. We're not to have any fear. And if it's been lurking around you, if it's been disguising itself in different ways, well, I can't help, I'm like that. They always say this to me and I just go, no, no fear, fear not, okay? We can help it. It's our choice. We're not going to fear. We're not going to fear. Alrighty, so I just went over one of the reactions to fear. So we said some people react to fear and they do the roly-poly thing and they kind of, you know, they quit talking to you and they won't look you in the eye and they get insecure. That's one way. But you know, there's another way people respond to fear. Guess what? They come at you. Yeah, this really went off like lightning bolts. I was like, why do they act like that to me? A lot of times people are in fear and they'll just come at you. Anybody, don't look at anybody, look straight ahead. Anybody know anybody like that? They just come at you. All righty. So, you know, let me give you an example. Some snakes, if you startle them, they'll get afraid and they're going to go hide under a rock, right? Some snakes, okay? And there's some other ones, if you startle at them, they'll come at you. They'll chase you down. They'll bite you and you're going to die. Yep. Okay. So fear is not always showing by, you know, this kind. It could be the kind that comes at you. At you with your words. Okay, with that look. All righty. Look at, let's go back to 1 John 4:18. One more time. And then we're going to wrap up. Okay. There is no fear in love. How about there's just a little bit of fear? No. It says there's no fear in love. No fear in love. Okay, so you are not governed by fear. You're not directed by fear because you've got God's wisdom and God's love inside you. So there's no fear in love. All righty. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out what? Perfect love casts out what? Fear. And in the day you received Jesus, you asked him to be Lord of your life. And you may not have had fireworks and felt like a puddle or something like that. You just did it by faith. The day that happened, the love of God came in you. And it says, perfect love. That's the perfect love. Cast out fear. All righty? Because fear has torment. When you've got torment, that's that yellow flag on the football field. And everybody starts blowing their whistle. All right? If you've got torment going in your life, that's an indicator. There's an ingredient of fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect. Okay, so we've talked about two things that will empower you to live fearless. Everybody say fearless. What's the first thing that we can have to live fearless? The promise of God. And what's the second thing? The presence of God. I'm going to give you the third thing. Ready? The third thing that will empower you to live this life on the earth, the abundant life, and not be in fear is love. Oh, Pastor D, are you kidding me? Yeah, write that down. The third thing's love, okay? Praise the Lord, love. If you draw on his love, if you draw on his love, if you stay in his love, you have to stay in that, and you won't have to brace yourself. I'm gonna, oh no, my gosh, they're coming at me. No, no, no. If you stay in the love of God, you stay in that, okay? Stay in that, you won't have to do that. Okay, because perfect love casts out fear. I believe there's people here in this place, all right, that you've been gripped by fear. Sometimes it's fear of your past. Oh my gosh, if someone ever found out. Sometimes it's fear of your future. I remember going through that one. Jack died, and I had to have a future. I was freaking and tormented, okay? I know that one. Okay, so you could have fear of your future. You just lost a job, all right? Someone just walked out. You can have fear of future, all right? How about fear of what's going on in your body? You have an appointment with that doctor, and you can have fear in your life because of something like that. It could be fear of something that's happening in a relationship, all right? Those are, anyway, some of you hear something. You hear somebody say something. You hear the news. I don't watch that thing. You just start hearing people, and you know what? You tense up. Guess what that is? That's fear. All righty? That's fear. But listen, instead of getting in fear, how about you get into the presence of God? All right. Pastor D, what do you mean get in the presence of God? Do they have a room that says the presence of God? You walk in the door, it's the presence of God? Get into this, all right? Get into this. You know, I have, everybody say go-tos. You know, go-to, chocolate cake, All right? Go to. No, I have go-tos on the Word of God. I've got scriptures that I go to when things like that happen in my life. So get in the Word of God. That'll be the presence of God. Some of you that just really get just whoa with worship, go do that. That's an easy one. Pop in a worship CD. Not the one. Okay, not that kind. All right, put on a worship CD. Just put it on and then go get in the Word, go get in the presence, all righty? And get to the place where you get relaxed in that presence and you're in the love of God in the presence. How many of you have ever been to a spa, a day spa? They give you a massage. I hate that. I just don't like people touching me, man. I'm freaking out. Pedicures, touching my feet. Okay, that's torment, all right. But my girls love that. Matter of fact, my son-in-law, he loves that. It's beyond me. I'm spitting here, okay? But you go and you soak in maybe in the sauna, starts relaxing you. Guess what? All that stress goes out. Yeah, but you got to pay $50 to $100 for that, right? Making you laugh, but this is, you'll find the presence. Really, the day you received Jesus Christ, the presence of God came into you. This just kind of helps me stay focused, okay? And I'll just start saying, I thank you, Lord. And I'll say these words, okay? So get into the presence of God. You know what happens when you get into the presence of God? You'll get some wisdom on how you're supposed to not freak out. So get into the presence of God, okay? And get into the presence of God and you won't be snapping and pinging and shooting somebody, okay? Or the one that kind of rolls up. Get into the presence of God. You won't be drawn back and be Mr. Recluse, you know, because I don't want to be around people, all righty? So get yourself where you saturate yourself in the love of God and that fear can't come in. It's not coming in. It's not going to come in. So I want to pray for everybody. Oh, crud, I was going to try to finish early. That's okay. If you are a part of Freeze, everybody, tell kids Freeze. If you're a part of the table setup, you can disappear. If not, stick it. Stick here. Okay, let me pray for you. Ready? I didn't say that. That came out wrong. So sorry. Delete that. Brian G. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody close your eyes. I can't even think of you. Father God, we thank you for your wonderful presence. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, that your presence is here. And not just because we're in church. Your presence is here because Jesus has been our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are in us and you are with us. Therefore, we will not fear in Jesus' name. Now, everybody just raise your hands. I want you to start acknowledging. Acknowledge, God. Thank you. I acknowledge you, Lord. I acknowledge your presence in me. I acknowledge that you're my Lord. I acknowledge that love has been shed abroad in my heart. I acknowledge that fear is not in me. I acknowledge you. You are so wonderful and so great in my life. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your presence. Amen. I was going to have you sing and pray. You know, I was like, Vanessa and I, we cook up plans. Where's, oh, Antonio's not here, but I always go, Antonio, this is how we're going to do it. And then I never do it. But that's okay. We always have a plan, okay? she's laughing at me going, all right. Praise the Lord. Real serious, let me pray one more time. This is glory to God. Our vision here at YCF is to gather. We get to gather in the presence. But I have the presence here. But we get to gather in the presence. And then our vision is to grow. We grow when we come here. Yeah, I gave you a lot of word, okay? You gather one every time you gather together. Especially grow groups, you gather. And you grow, excuse me, you start growing, all right? And the last part is we go. So this is my question with everybody's eyes closed and just in an attitude of prayer. If you're here and you're far from God, if you're here and maybe you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you have just started going far from Him, today's a good day to come back, all right? Or if you're far from Him and you just don't know Him at all, like, you know, heard about Easter and Christmas, but I don't know about God. I don't know about Jesus. And someone invited me here to church. I just don't know a whole lot. Well, God wants you to be close to Him. God wants you to be close to Him. He wants you to be close to Him. And the way you do that is you simply, real simple, say, Jesus, come in my life. Be in me. Right? So if there's anybody here that you're far from God, or you just would, you're like, I'm so tired of being far from God, or if there's someone here and you just don't know God, or you don't know Jesus and you'd like to have Him, I'd like to pray for you. So if you're here and you say, Pastor D, I'm tired. I need Jesus. I need this love that you're talking about. I need all the help that He offers. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And you know the great thing about the Lord? He doesn't wait for you to clean up your act. You don't have to get gooder and better and stop cussing, smoking, and whatever. He just says, come to me, all of you that are just tired. He said, come to me. So if that's today's your day, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody that I can pray for? Okay. Praise God. Okay, eyeballs up here. Everybody say, I'm fearless. I'm fearless. All righty. Praise God. So we have a church picnic. I was going to wrap up 10, 15 minutes ago, but that's okay. If you're part of the team that are going to be downstairs and you have bins to collect to go take off.